Welcome back to the guidebook, everybody. It's Rachel, your host. Today, we're not interviewing another Rachel. Don't worry. We're interviewing Sarah Colley, one of my dear, dear friends from Virginia. Sarah is a Virginia-based freelance writer for seed companies and sustainable outdoor brands. And when she's not working, she is hiking deep in the woods, snuggling her adorable puppy, or meticulously planning next year's garden. Sarah is such a dear friend. We used to go camping all the time when I lived in North Carolina. And she has shown me some of the most beautiful gems in Linville Gorge that I never would have known existed if it weren't for her. So shout out to Sarah for being a real one. In this episode, we're talking about being more intentional with our freelance writing businesses and how you can start a freelance writing business with no experience. She left her full-time job to have more flexibility as a freelancer. And once she got into it, she realized that the flexibility maybe was getting a little out of hand. Sometimes freedom can be a little overwhelming and we want to run with it super far, but then we don't get any work done and we get really stressed out and we procrastinate and then we feel like we don't have enough money, we don't have clients, we don't have hours in the day to get all our work done. Does that sound familiar? So today we're talking about how getting a puppy has forced her into having more structure, which actually made her realize that structure can be good for you too. It's not all about freedom and flexibility all the time. And we talk about how you can find balance and still get outside and so much more, you guys. This conversation is sweet and filled with so much reassurance if you're in your first year of freelancing or you're just starting out and you're not really sure which direction you want to take your scheduling and your niche and your rates and your mindset and all these things. It's just such a great primer for that. Sarah is also a Pop Club member, so if you want to hang out with me and Sarah, head over to Pop Club. The link to join is in the description of this podcast episode. This conversation was like walking with us while we're hiking. So if you want to come along for a hike, keep on listening.
This is The Guidebook. We're sharing tips for freelancers, raw conversations with risk takers, how to become a digital nomad, and the emotions behind it all. I'm your host, Rachel. On the show, I share everything I've learned in the past 5 years of freelancing and living nomadically, showing you how you can work to live instead of living to work. I'm interviewing some of my favorite digital nomads and entrepreneurs to help you unlock your bravest self. If you want to become a freelancer or a digital nomad, this is the podcast for you.
Okay, you can start by introducing yourself.
Hey, my name is Sarah Colley, and I'm a freelance writer for gardening companies, seed companies, and sustainable outdoor brands.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I'm playing with a lot of different niches at the moment, but those are the three that I am on right now. And I love to adventure. I'm a backpacker. I thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2017. And have been backpacking since. And I am now a dog mom. That's Dolly.
I'm very excited about Dolly. I can't wait to meet her in person someday.
Gosh. She's gonna be hiker trash for sure.
I hope so. She has to match you.
She will. She does.
I love how you're like, I have a bunch of niches and they're not really related. But actually, like, they're all related because they all involve dirt.
You right. Yep. Yeah, I tend to, my interests tend to involve, you know, things that have to do with outside or getting outside or experiencing outside.
Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah, it truly is.
How did you find Pop Club and me? That's how we met.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a mutual friend, Emily Buhal, aka Nine, that I hiked with in 2017. And yeah, I guess she heard, because I was wanting to get into copywriting before I met you, Rachel, and before I got into Pop Club. And Nine knew that, and she referred me to you. She was like, you have to follow this girl. She's so cool. She has this community. Check it out. And I was like, okay. And I met you via Instagram. I remember you were running some kind of special on Pop Club, and I like jumped on it and then ended up taking a job in a nonprofit. So you let me like postpone my membership. Anyway, I was kind of like back and forth between wanting to commit to freelancing. And then when I finally did, I found this community of other freelancers a lot of us in the same boat just starting out. And it's a really cool community. Learned a lot.
Yeah. We've met a lot of – well, we've met in person multiple times now. Mm-hmm. We've gone camping together and stuff, which is really fun. It's nice that we have such a small community because it's – most of the freelance communities I've been a part of before were like hundreds of people or like 50-plus people, whether it was like a mastermind or a course or like just a Facebook group or something. And it always just felt like I was – it just felt like too many people. Like there's a lot of people lurking. The people who are active are like kind of a little much in my opinion. Like I just would feel like there's too much information. And also I don't feel like I'm in a community. I feel like I'm just in a large group of people who are all having these different experiences. Whereas with Pop Club, it feels a lot more like it's a close-knit community. It's like 20 people or less at all times. And we can actually like talk to each other and learn from each other. It's nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like being in Pop Club is like having coworkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too big of a team where you get lost in the crowd, but it's enough people that have such a diverse skill set and knowledge base and client base that it feels really good.
Yeah. Heck yeah. What do you think? Actually, before we talk about that, let's talk about how you became a freelance writer. What was that process like for you?
Yes. I was working for an agricultural nonprofit that helped build community gardens and train people in skills like how to grow their own food. And I really enjoyed it, loved being outside, but kind of hated working for a nonprofit. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. and so then there came, like this other opportunity came up to be your own boss and to set your own schedule. Mm-hmm. I've always felt like I'm a good writer. I've always been drawn to writing, so it seems like kind of a natural fit. And I was afraid to take the jump at first into full-time freelancing, but I was surprised like at how easy it was to get a client with the process that you showed us. And then from that first client, it just kind of like snowballed until I had like a full-time salary.
It's about the momentum and like the persistence. I like that's what I always say to you guys. Like when you're consistently putting in the effort to get clients and to improve your skills, you will like it will naturally just happen. And after you get like the first one's the hardest, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think my first client came from Upwork and I applied for so many gigs and then it got like the perfect fit. It was for a gardening company. This woman had been like a freelancer herself before, so she trained me, and it was great. And then from there, it was like LinkedIn clients and referrals.
Yeah, the LinkedIn clients are where it's at. Actually, the referrals are really where it's at, but like in comparison to Upwork, LinkedIn is so much more fun.
Absolutely.
What would you say is your favorite aspect of freelancing, or your favorites if you have multiple?
It's hard to pick. There are so many. I guess I like the freedom of it, obviously. I like being my own boss. But one thing that I've learned that I love that I didn't expect to was that the value of a dollar changed for me. And you've talked about this.
Yeah, I had this experience big time.
Yeah. And it really does change the meaning of money to you because you're not – somebody's not – giving you money. You are like going out and getting the money yourself, and you get to decide how much to charge, how much your work is worth. And it does kind of change the way that I spend my money too, because I know how hard it is for me to charge money. I tend to like respect when I buy services from other people. It's been a really cool experience. It's kind of been like an exercise in abundance. Because I know that I can always get more money because I can raise my rates and get more clients and ask for more money. And so I can put more money back out into the world, into other people's pockets because I can always get more.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. It's such a – the money mindset thing was something I really didn't expect to have to confront. And it's funny. Pretty much every podcast episode this season, somehow we have ended up talking about money. And it's such a – like – In the world outside of freelancing, it's such a taboo. But among freelancers, at least in our community and at least the people I have talked to, most people are willing to talk about money in some way. And it's probably, I think it's because it affects our lives so much differently and so much more. And like, you don't, I didn't realize how my money mindset had been shaped, like how it had been created, and then having to go through and work on it to improve my business was so just like the deep dive that you have to go into that. It just had so many things I didn't have to expect to have to confront. And then once I did, the difference in like how I make money and how much money I make was insane. Like, you truly have to believe that you can make whatever amount of money that you want. And also, you have to be willing to take the action steps to get there. And when you're not making as much money as you want to, you have to be, like, cool with it. And just understand that, like, more money will come. And that this is not permanent or forever or, like, long term. And that's such a, like, learning to sit with that took, like, 2 years, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not easy. I think there is a lot of fear and insecurity and imposter syndrome that goes into thinking about how much my work is worth, not how much I'm worth. Mm. But yeah, like the money mindset workshops that we've gone through in Pop Club have really helped me go back and think about like these experiences I've had, my psychology around money, and then get to a place where I can be more confident with setting my rates. And yeah, just knowing, like you said, that like more money can always come. Yeah. So if we're not where we want to be right now, income wise, like we have the ability to like liberate ourselves from that.
Yeah. It's a different kind of freedom. It's funny how nothing, like we as humans are like, I know what that's going to feel like. I'm going to go for that. That makes sense. And then you get there and you're like, this is not fucking what I thought it was going to feel like at all. It never is. Well, nothing ever feels like what you think it's going to.
No. Yeah. There's always so many emotions and feelings that go with anything. And then sometimes you think you'll feel a certain way when you like arrive at this point. Mm. I guess that's the other thing that you have talked about a lot. That's really, that I've really experienced, especially this year, is like what you think you're going to feel like when you arrive at this end goal. Mm-hmm. Whatever that looks like for you, freelancing full time, hitting a certain income goal, having like a certain publication in a byline.
Finishing a through hike.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Never feels like what you
think. No. And then that there is no finish line, that you can just keep setting another goal, setting your sights on another experience or accomplishment, and then working towards that.
Yeah, because like life keeps happening. It's like, okay, you made $10,000 this month. That doesn't mean you're going to make $10,000 next month. That just means you know how to do it now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's really such a letdown, I guess. It was a letdown to me to realize that, like, none of these things. Like, I dreamed about finishing the Appalachian Trail the whole 6 months I was out there, you know? And then you get to the top and you're like, that's it? And I have to, like, go home? And do what?
Right. Yeah.
And how?
Post-trail depression. It is a thing.
Yeah. And it's a very, like, that's real of, I think, like, reframing it as the post-completion come down for me was great because it works for everything. Like, anytime you accomplish a goal, you might feel that way. But if you have other goals set up and you're prepared for them, I feel like it's easier to just keep moving forward and just start again. You're not starting over. You're just starting again. And that's a different perspective. I felt really bad last week, or was it last week or the week before we were in Pop Club? I was like, you guys, the end is death. It just keeps going. And I felt like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have been so extreme. But everyone I have talked to since that meeting, I've like brought it up a couple of times just to see how my friends and like other people would react. And everyone's like, yeah, man, pretty much. That's it.
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah. Right. We're all desensitized to it now.
Yeah.
No, I love that comment because I just finished this audiobook by Oliver Berkman about 4,000 weeks.
Oh, yeah. That one was good.
So good, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, weird side note. But it puts things in perspective. Like, you know, if there's things you want to do, fucking do them.
Yeah.
Don't let anything get in your way. Like, what do you have to lose?
Yeah. And I think it's important to also figure out what your style is. Like, for me, my style is like all or nothing. Like, if I'm going to do something, I'm just going to do it all the way. If I'm going to go backpack, I'm just going to do whole through hike. I'm just not going to do it any other way. I'm not going to, I can't. I don't know why. I just can't. If I'm going to do van life, buying a van, I'm going out, I'm doing it for a year. Can't do it any other way. Went full-time freelance. Just did. Like, everyone's like, when should I quit my job? I'm like, I am not the person to ask for that because I just did it. I can tell you like what might feel good for you, but I can also tell you that you're going to use those parameters as an excuse to never quit your job because it'll never feel right because the time never feels right. And like, that's my style. But I also know people who are like, well, I'm just going to, you know, go backpacking for a weekend, or I'm just going to try freelancing on the side of my job and like, I'll be chill about it. There's also an in-between where it's like there's doesn't have to be one end of the spectrum or the other. You can have a style that's sort of like, I'm going to freelance 20 hours a week and I'm going to be serious about it. And then when I feel good, I will quit my job or whatever. But knowing that style can really help you get things done because you can know what to commit to and how much to plan for, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe more so than other jobs, I think freelancing makes you have this level of self-awareness with your work style, with your like the way that you plan out your life, the way that you make big decisions. Because we have to learn how we tick and what makes us operate and what feels good to us so that we can succeed in this career.
Yeah, that's very true. I was that the money things and how much I've gotten to know myself because of freelancing are just like so unexpected but beautiful side effects, because I think we're able to live our lives so much more intentionally and create the lives we actually want to live, whereas a lot of people are just kind of like stuck, or there are certain things that they'll just never be able to choose for themselves because they're part, like a large portion of their life work is dictated by somebody else. But at the same time, like, it's not for everyone, of course. Like, some people are not going to like freelancing or succeed at it or feel good in it, because you really do have to be willing to like work on yourself all the time and work on your skills all the time and keep up with your industry. And I don't want to say sell yourself, because I don't like to put it that way, but like selling your services, which can feel kind of like selling yourself. And put yourself out there and manage yourself. Like, these are all really challenging things, but they are also really positive things at the end of the day if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah, they really are. I feel like freelancers, just like backpackers, climbers, and adventurers, we're like scrappy.
Yeah.
Like, I think if it came down to it, we could survive. And that's one of the things I love about being a freelance writer is I feel like I have job security because my income and my job is in my own hands.
Yes, exactly.
And I know I can go out and make more money, you know, and if you're working for someone, working the 9-to-5, that may be great. You have benefits, but like, what happens if that's all taken away? Like, I know our industry and our world is changing a lot, you know, like with AI and with like media layoffs and things, but I do feel like having freelancing in my back pocket, even if I don't always freelance as my career, as my main job, that I have this to fall back on.
Yeah.
It feels like a safety net.
Yeah. I feel like the skill you learn is more how to run a business, how to get clients, how to make money, how to think about money in a way that allows you to be independent of a system that maybe doesn't fit you or doesn't fit you all the time. Instead of like writing. Like, yes, I know how to write. I know how to be a digital marketer. I've learned these things because those are the services I provide. But once you know how to get clients and treat money and run a business, you can provide any service. And if AI is taking over, you could become an AI wrangler. Like, AI can't do everything on its own. So like, you could be the person who tells AI what to do. You could sell other services, you could sell your gardening services. Like, you could start a business that's not even online and you would still know how to like you know how to create a pricing guide. You know how to create contracts. You know how to sell the services to clients. You know how to be like, these are the benefits. This is why you need it. And I'm great. Versus like getting laid off from a job and only knowing how to like run a blog or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you said that. It gives you a kind of independence from the system. Yeah.
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 I think I used to, when AI first started really gaining traction, like I always say it was like Thanksgiving last year when all the articles started happening and people started getting laid off from media jobs and marketing roles. I was like freaking out, dude. I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to have a job. Why did I spend all this time creating Camp Moxie and like a course about freelance writing? What am I doing? And I just had like a full mental spiral. And then after Thanksgiving break, I like came back to work and I started actually messing around with AI and starting to learn how to use it. And I was like, I'm good, man.
Yeah.
Because even if like AI was not good enough to take my job, but even if it had been, I know how to do the business and that's what we're here for. Like you just pivot and you're like a scrappy human being and you're fine, you know? It's so easy to like get intimidated by things and just be intimidated by them. But the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And it's always better to just try to learn the thing and see what's up and investigate than it is to like get stuck in the fear, right?
Mm. Yeah, I love that. Right? You have to be smarter than the tool. And AI is a tool.
Yeah.
We are smarter than AI.
For now.
We can use it. Yeah, for now. Don't say that.
Okay, I love your favorite aspects. What are your least favorite aspects of freelance writing?
Right. I guess the flip side of that coin is being my own boss and setting my own schedule because I'm not always the most disciplined person. And there are days, I'm not going to lie, there are days when I wish that I had someone to tell me, this is what you have to do today, get it done, and you're done. So I think, the scheduling is difficult for me, but it's something I'm working on. Sometimes it is exhausting, like having to market your business, go out and get clients, send invoices, keep the books, like that. Stuff can be tiring. It's unpaid work and it's work that we have to do to run our businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are also days when I'm like, this is so cool that this is all in my hands. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it kind of depends on the day, depends on how much client work I have to do and how stressed I am.
Yeah.
Because there are definitely times I wish I could delegate some of that work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's maybe a point in time when I can like delegate someone to do that work for me. But for now, it's really cool to wear a lot of hats and it can also be kind of tiring.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it can be kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I think it comes in waves too. Like there are times like past 2 months I was moving and I had a lot of projects end during that time. And so October was like, I did not have enough work and I spent the whole month just like pounding the pavement to get clients, and somehow every time I like went out to start sending pitches I would get a referral, which was great. But then now it's like November, I've gotten 3 new clients. All of a sudden I have to onboard all of them and get started working with them in the same week, and that like that's overwhelming because I haven't had client work. And so it's like you get a sort of stamina for doing client work, and then if you haven't done a lot of client work in a while, you're like, I haven't sat at a computer for 7 hours straight in a while. This is gonna be hard.
That sounds familiar.
I have to make like 4 contracts this week and get onboarded with all these invoicing tools and make sure that I know how to like get paid by all these people and like learn all these new brand voices and style guides. But also like in January when I've had these clients for 2 or 3 months, it's just going to be routine and it's just showing up to work and doing my job. I know their voices, I know how to get paid by them, my assignments will be very regular, I won't have weeks that are packed like this as much. And it's better than when I didn't have enough work, right? Because when I didn't have enough work, you're just freaking out a little bit trying to get clients.
Yeah.
So there is like benefits and there are phases and there are waves in the business where there's like the not enough clients, too many clients, just enough clients, mm-hmm. in between, paperwork. Ah. But it always like comes back around. And like on the whole, if you look at the whole year and you average out like all those waves, actually it's just – it's fine.
Right.
And I think of like other – I mean, everyone I know that has a like 9-to-5 job experiences waves as well, you know, because it's like, oh, we're having a product launch. Oh, I got to work an extra 10 hours this week to do that. And then like 3 weeks later, they're like, yeah, I get to log off early today because I got all my work done. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm not – it's not like this is exclusive to freelancing. But I do think that – maybe it's a little bit more extreme sometimes of freelancing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think because, yeah, we feel that like feast and famine, we feel those waves sometimes in like our income.
Yes.
So it does feel a little more like out of control. But that's a good perspective to bring us back to that's any job. There are busy seasons. That's nature. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all about nature.
We are. Changing case you can't tell.
Schedule with the season, busy season, slow season. Everybody has it. Every business has it. It's funny how it's different in different industries as well. Like we were talking about, like usually autumn and like January, February are pretty slow for me because that's when companies are like running out of their purchase orders for me, tech companies, and then they're like remaking their budgets in the winter. And then so until February, sometimes my projects, my income can be a little bit weird because these companies are like making their plans and trying to find out if they got funding and all this stuff. But then there's other industries like apparel and e-commerce where like that's the busiest time of year because all the holidays are happening then. Or for some companies, like summer is the busiest time of year because that's when tourism happens, or like ski companies, it's winter, right? And so there are like busy and slow seasons for every industry. You just need to get to know your industry so you can predict better like when your feast famine cycle is going to be. Like now I know, and it makes it a lot easier to be sitting in November and not having enough clients and being like, this is just it. This is just how it is. I didn't do anything wrong. It will come back around. It's just slow season. It's okay, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like normalizing it and then maybe scheduling some time off for yourself during those times, or like planning a business retreat or a business audit. That's something I want to do this winter when my workload is a little slower.
Yeah. I did a business audit and like a little like week retreat when I was moving because I – knew I was not going to have that few clients again for a long time. And it was really helpful because I got done a lot of things that have been on my to-do list for a long time that I've just been pushing off. And I also just felt like I was finally in a place where I could just let go of some projects that I didn't want to do anymore. It just makes you feel better. It makes you feel like you're more in control. Like working on your business versus working in your business is something that we talk about a lot in Pop Club as well, of like, when you work on your business, you're like getting better clients or releasing clients you don't like, or getting your bookkeeping done, or like improving your skills, or improving your systems, like how you keep track of your work or whatever, or doing courses. And working in your business is like getting your client work done and just like,
oh yeah,
doing your job.
Right, yeah. And
it's very hard to find things. Time for both.
Mm-hmm. But both are so essential.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've just been so busy this summer that I have mostly been working in my business, and I really want to take a step back and work on my business through the rest of this quarter into next year.
Yeah. Your summer was very busy.
It was.
Yeah.
But it was great. Like, wouldn't have been able to do what I did, which was take 2 months off and drive across the country and back and pick up a puppy on the way. Could not have done that if I had had a 9-to-5, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That was incredible.
Super fun.
Yeah. You do a lot of like backpacking and road trips on the side, like while working or on the side of working. And I really admire your dedication to, like, actually getting out.
Yeah, thank you. It's you know, I really have to thank my boyfriend for that. He's really the one that has to go and do the trips. But he has to, like, quit a job in order to take the trip. And I get to, like, just slack off on my workload and still do enough to be making some money and then come back and ramp it up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think understanding that, like, you can just change how much you're working. Like, it – again, we have this idea of, like, perfection, like the perfect schedule, the perfect amount of work, the perfect effort. And in freelancing, it kind of always feels like you're never doing enough. So you have to learn how to give yourself permission to be like, no, that was enough. That was enough. I'm good. So that you can have the time to take off, or else you'll just always get stuck, like, work all the time. I used to work like 7 days a week, 10 hours a day when I first started. Yeah. And that's absurd. That is like, I got so burnt out, and I didn't know what burnout was yet. And I was like, why do I feel so horrible? I was like going to the doctor being like, I have a migraine. My eyes hurt. And they're like, you've been staring at a screen too much. You need to go to sleep. Stop looking at the screen.
Well, it's the simple thing sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think there is a lot of pressure. Maybe it's like our society. Maybe it's the pressure we put on ourselves to jump all in 100%, 7 days a week, 10 hours a day when you're first starting. But you're right that we do have to give ourselves permission to take time off, because that is how you, that's how you heal burnout. That's how you, like, harness your creativity again, is by taking that time off. Yeah. And then coming back.
And also, like, recognizing it's not about, like, there's no perfect consistent, like, you're not going to work every week the same way. You're not going to work every day the same way. Like, I probably get what I aim to get done 3 days a week. And the other 2 days are just, like, catch-up days for me. Because if I scheduled an actual, like, 4 to 6 hours of work 5 days a week, it would not get done. And I constantly be behind, which I learned from experience is how that works for me. And, like, everybody's different, of course. But, like, it's just not realistic. And I think – yeah, that's part of getting to know yourself too, and adjusting those expectations.
For sure. Yeah, that sounds so familiar. I do have, like, an idealized idea of what my work week would look like. But sometimes you get into it and you're just, like, not in the right mindset, or there's a distraction, or there's something else that has to get done.
Yeah.
And, like, what we do is hard work. Like, it is deep work. And one thing that I've learned is that I really only have the capacity to write, like, one blog post a day. Mm. But now that I know that about myself, I can, like, schedule my work week accordingly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then schedule in, like, an extra day or two for a catch-up day that I know I'm going to need. But there was a time when I was trying to do, like, two blog posts a day, and that was just too much for my brain. Like, if I wanted a good blog post, I needed to take a day, maybe 2 days, if it was a longer one. And that's the kind of thing that you learn about yourself when you do this work and you have to sink or swim.
Totally.
To figure it out.
Yes. Yes, exactly. What advice do you have for someone who's, like, aspiring to start freelancing and is also adventurous and wants to live a life sort of maybe kind of a little bit like yours?
Yeah. Great question. I think that I would just say to do it. And we've talked about this. People have different styles, and maybe you have different needs, different financial needs. But I would say if you have any kind of capacity to jump in, just do it and try it. Try it for a month, maybe 3 months. And if it doesn't work out, you can always, like, go back. I mean, maybe you can't go back to the job that you had before. But if freelancing doesn't work for you, then you can try something else. But I think that I was afraid to take the plunge. Mm. And then once I did, it's really an incredible experience. Like, it has helped me with my confidence. It's helped me with my self-awareness. It's helped me get to a better financial place. I'm not making more money right now than I was when I was working at the nonprofit, but I am smarter about money. Mm. And I don't think that I would have cared as much about it before. So yeah, I really think that it's really worth it. It's worth all the annoying things that we have to deal with. It's worth having to like buy healthcare and, you know, hire an accountant, but it really is worth it because we are only here for, you know, however long we're here, and we have the ability to design our lives around what we want most. Like, we can fit our work schedule around these dreams that we have to travel or to homestead or to have kids or to have pets. Like, we can, freelancing will allow us to build our work around our dreams, which is really cool because where else can you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really special. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about while we're here?
I don't know. I feel like I just talked a lot out of my ass, but
no, that was great. That was good. Oh, I do have one more thing I'd like to ask you. I will probably post this like separate from the podcast itself, just because I don't want my podcast to be like a blatant walking advertisement. But I would love to know, like, I guess I have like three questions about Pop Club for you. And I will probably post this video separately as like a testimonial if you would be down to do that real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Just while we're here.
Right. Yeah, might as well.
Okay, so number one question is like, why did you join Pop Club?
Yes. I knew that I needed help. I joined Pop Club because I knew that I needed help to build a freelancing business. So I don't know if I ever told you this, but in 2019, I bought a copywriting course, like a big $2,000. This is a copywriting course.
Oh.
Targeted Instagram ad. That was the most money I'd ever dropped on anything. And I am so surprised that I did that on a whim. But like, I got in the course and it was just really overwhelming because there was so much information. I felt very alone. Like, I know there was like a Facebook group, but it wasn't a community to the capacity that Pop Club is. So when you presented this opportunity that was like this close, tight-knit community, real freelancers, real people, I can see their pictures, like we chat, like I know that these people are in the same place that I am, or maybe they're a little further along than I am. So that felt really good. And I think that you, like the workshops are like the perfect way for me to absorb information because it's like, I'm being taught, and it's like not every day or even every week, but twice a month is like perfect. And then if I have any other questions that come up, like the community is there and I can ask, and then different people weigh in. So I really appreciate that. That feels less overwhelming, more helpful, seems to bring like more results than like this other kind of option that I was considering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I probably should still work through that course because I bought it. And maybe now that I like have a more solid foundation, it would help me more. But
Yeah. And the cool thing is like, even if you take a different course from somebody else, you can always come back to Pop Club and be like, yo, I'm taking this course. This seems weird to me. Can you help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that's the best. My biggest struggle when I started freelancing was that I felt like there was no real person to ask questions to. And the people that were there and the communities that were there, like we talked about before, were like way too big. And I just felt swallowed up by it. And I was like, this is not helpful. I just want to talk to like one real human being. And so when you're on a call or a workshop with like 4 to 6 other people and you can actually ask your question and get attention and like learn something, that's it's just so much different. And that's what I was hoping to provide. Oh, yeah. So that's good. Yeah. Good to hear that.
Yeah. That's the other big difference too, is that like you spend time in Pop Club. Like I don't get these like pre-recorded, well, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this because I know you do have a course, but what I appreciate about
Pop Club. Yeah, but we have live coaching even with the course.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. That's the difference. Like it's not just like you're out living your life and here's this like pre-recorded information. You are spending time with us twice a month, often more if we do co-working or creative writing sessions or pitch parties. Like you're spending time with us.
Yeah.
Which really feels good. Like that's, I want to spend my money on that.
Yeah. I spend like 5 to 10 hours a week inside Pop Club, not just like not like just making workbooks for it or something or recording videos, but like interacting in Slack, on our biweekly calls, on our community events. Yeah. I like it. I'm like, that's why I'm here. I like the kind of
we love guys. You being there. That's like that's why we all get together.
That's what sets it apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. That's good to hear. What do you think your I guess you kind of already said that the biggest value of Pop Club is really just like the live human interaction, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. But I can say it again if you like.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm just looking at my questions and like you just answered all of them. So I think that's good. That's perfect.
Great.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Right on. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It was so nice to talk to you. And I think a lot of people will relate to your story.
Okay. Cool. I hope so. Yeah. Edit it. Good luck with the editing process. I know I say like a lot and
Oh, you're not bad.
I probably mumble because I can't like really hear myself. So hopefully everything is like audible.
Yeah, you're fine. I thankfully like records the audios separately so I can edit each of us individually. It's wild. It's a whole thing. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
It'll be good. At another date, at a later time, I definitely want to ask you about like the podcasting process.
Oh yeah.
I have an idea for one. But yeah, don't know how to get started. So
yeah. Hell yeah. I'm happy to help with that. I'm
sweet.
A big advocate of everybody should try podcasting sometime because it's such an experience.
Yeah, it's seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's kind of just like an excuse to talk to people that I want to talk to.
Right. And it's like I love that. I don't know. I love the consistency of yours. I love that it's really helpful information. And yeah.
Thanks.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Cool
stuff. Yeah. Send me your questions anytime.
All right.
Yeah. We can have a coffee chat sometime soon if you want to. I'll send you the calendar link for it.
That'd be cool.
Okay.
Super appreciate it.
Yeah. I miss you, dude. It feels like I feel like we would normally be like going camping on a weekend like this or something.
We would, especially now. Like the leaves finally dropped. Mm-hmm. Which is always kind of sad, but then at the same time, I'm like, okay, like we have the woods back now.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to go to Linville now.
Yeah.
So
that's so true. Yeah. It's still fall here, but it's like, it's dwindling for sure quickly. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to go backpacking and all the fall leaves, but every weekend it's just been like really cold and rainy. And I think I underestimated like what moving. How much moving would take out of me and how much I would just want to be home. And it's fine. Like there's nothing wrong with it. But there was some part of me that was like, when I move back to New England, I'm gonna be all fall all the time.
Yeah.
And then I got here and I was like, I just wanna be home. It's beautiful. Thank you. I live in a beautiful place. Thank you. I'll be here next year as well.
Okay. Exactly. You will.
It's nice that I don't have to like worry about leaving, you know?
Right. Give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. I like really thought I'd take this big epic like camping trip, but you know, puppy can't really backpack with her. And then I just didn't get my shit together to take a lot of time off, but we'll do it next year. There's always next year.
It's always next year.
I know that you probably want to explore the New England fall and I would love to as well, but I would love to do a girls trip in like Dolly Sods or like Cranberry Wilderness somewhere in West Virginia.
That sounds fun.
Because I think that would be a little less busy than North Carolina.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. West Virginia is less popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'd very much be down for that. Or spring. We'll
both and.
Yeah.
Either or.
Totally. Cool. Dope. Well, thanks again for doing this. I'm going to stop recording.
Love talking to Sarah. She is always so thoughtful and honest and compassionate, and that's part of why she makes such a good freelance friend to have. If you want more freelance friends like Sarah and me, you can join us in Pop Club. It's our membership community for freelance writers, and we would love to see you in there. It's only $33 a month, and you can cancel anytime, and you'll get a free one-on-one mini coaching session with me to make sure your business is ready for success and also set up to reach the goals that you want to achieve this year. And I'm sure Sarah would love it if you wanted to connect with her on LinkedIn. Her LinkedIn link is in the description below. You can also follow her on Instagram, also linked below in the description of this podcast episode. I'll see you next week. And maybe I'll also see you around the Meltzer Seltzerverse. If you're not sure what that is, it's basically all of our free resources plus our paid programs. And every single thing is linked in this podcast description. So go check it out if you're looking for support in your freelance writing career. I'm here for you. See you around. Bye. This podcast was created by Rachel Meltzer and edited by Matthew Usherwood.
The music is by Ketza from the Free Music Archive.
You can find more information in the show notes below. P.S. Did you know that I offer coaching for freelance writers? You can find more information on store.meltzerseltzer.com. That's store.meltzerseltzer.com. MeltzerSeltzer.com.